Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japan Conference. So today's class will be given by Her Grace Kala Sudha Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 23, and text number 206 onwards. Is Kala Sudha Mataji, are you on call?
Hare Krishna Kaumudi Ki Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharaj.
Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. Mataji, thank you very much. Dhanva Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Please, I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Kaumudiki Mataji, thank you so much for very generously welcoming everybody and for this very wonderful opportunity to serve all of you. Very grateful for that.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 23, reading from verses 106 through 114. Text 106 and 107. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukhakshami santushta satatam yogi yatatma drudha nishchaya Mayarpita mano buddhi yo mad bhakta samepriya. Translation. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is always satisfied, forgiving, and self-controlled, and who is engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence dedicated to me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. And the purport Srila Prabhupada says that these two verses and the coming six verses, they are actually from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 12, entitled Devotional Service, from text 13 through 20. Text 108. He by whom no one is put into difficulty or anxiety and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is liberated from jubilation, anger, fear, and anxiety is very dear to me. Text 109. A devotee who is not dependent on others but is dependent solely on me, who is clean inwardly and outwardly, who is expert, indifferent to material things, without cares and free from all pains, and who rejects all pious and impious activities is very dear to me. Text 110. One who is free of all material jubilation, hatred, lamentation, and desire, who renounces both materially auspicious and materially inauspicious things, and who is devoted to me is very dear to me. Text 111 to 112. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from attachment to material things and always grave and satisfied in all circumstances, who does not care for any residence and who is always fixed in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Text 613, devotees who follow these imperishable religious principles of Krishna consciousness with great faith and devotion, fully accepting me as the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. 614, this particular verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam that Mahaprabhu is quoting to Sri Sanatan Goswami Sahib. So from Srimad Bhagavatam, text 114 is quoted here. Translation, are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? Do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms and charity? Do the rivers, being dried up, no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then should learned people like devotees go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Om Agyanatim Vyantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Krupa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramataye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in these few verses, Srimad Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he is actually directly talking to Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada, giving him various instructions. You know, directly talking about, like in the previous verses we saw, that how Mahaprabhu is saying in text 103, very beautifully Mahaprabhu is saying, O Sanatana, you should broadcast the revealed scriptures on devotional service and excavate the lost places of pilgrimage in the district of Mathura. Such amazing instructions Mahaprabhu has given to Srila Rupa Goswami and to Srila Sanatana Goswami to write all these scriptures that we read today. These are all what the Goswamis have written for us. What Rupa Goswami has written, Upadeshamrita, and then we have the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. Then, you know, all of our, you know, do's and don'ts in spiritual life, they are in this book called Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is written by Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada. So this particular chapter and the previous chapters, all of this is instructions of Mahaprabhu that he has given to these two brothers and telling them to move to Vrindavan, to write these literatures, to excavate the lost holy places. All of these are such amazing, you know, instructions that Mahaprabhu has given to, you know, these six Goswamis, especially to Rupa and Sanatana. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, and the other four Goswamis of Vrindavan, they actually are, you know, like Srinivas Acharya Prabhu, he is so beautifully describing in his Shad Goswami Ashtakam, that he is writing about the glories of the six Goswamis. How beautifully he is glorifying the Goswamis and how, you know, the Goswamis, they actually renounced everything. They renounced everything and all they came to Vrindavan was for this purpose, to fulfill the instructions of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Srila Srinivas Acharya, who is the writer of the song, the Shada Goswami Ashtakam, so beautifully has glorified the activities, the mood, the consciousness of the Shad Goswamis, that in what way were they residing in Vrindavan? How, you know, they were all big personalities, each and every one of them. You know, they were all either, you know, like in very, very high government official posts, each and every one of the Goswamis, but they just rejected everything. And then just to, you know, follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they just came to Vrindavan, gave up everything, and they lived like just regular mendicants, became Brajvasis. How amazing the glories of the six Goswamis are, especially verse 4 of the Shri Goswami Ashtakam, Srinivas Acharya Prabhu is describing. Tyaktva turna mashesha mandala pati Shrelim sagatu chava Bhutva dina ganeshakam karunaya Kaupina kantha shritam Gopi bhavara samrita dilahari Kallona magna muhi Vande rupa sanatana raghunyaga Shri Jiva Gopalaka. Srinivas Acharya Prabhu is saying that I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis. Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. They were all Mandalapatis. They were not just, you know, regular aristocrats. They were all Mandalapatis. Means they were very, very high official government officials, you know, official posts they used to hold. And they just kicked them out, you know, kicked off all the posts. How? Because they considered it to be tuchha, to be just less than ordinary. No importance at all. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants. But they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, these Shri Goswamis, they are so, you know, just like how Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. That surrender yourself to a self-realized soul and render service to him and submissively inquire with him. And the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth, the Tattva Darshana. So here, the Shri Goswamis, especially Rupa and Sanatan, the way they are accepting Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu is literally their spiritual master. And Mahaprabhu is giving them such amazing instructions. And these instructions are the basis of the literature that the Goswamis will now give us. What we read today, these are the instructions that Mahaprabhu has given them. And if we see that Mahaprabhu is not only just talking from different, you know, just from his own realization, but Mahaprabhu is also giving, you know, direct quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, from the different Puranas. Later on we will see in this particular chapter itself how Mahaprabhu is, you know, based on the Shastra, based on some Puranas, quotations from different Puranas, Mahaprabhu is establishing that Goloka Vrindavan is not a mythical place. And the supreme position of Goloka Vrindavan is being established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the place that actually exists. It's not a myth, it's not a, you know, fantasy. That there is a planet which is above all, even the planets above Vaikuntha, you know, above the Vaikuntha planets, is this supreme abode of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna called as Goloka Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu is establishing all of this, and he's giving these kind of teachings to Sanatan Goswami Pada here in this particular chapter, so that Sanatan can, you know, he can base his writing on these teachings of Srimad Mahaprabhu. So the few verses that we read today from 106 onwards, these are direct quotations of Krishna in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So the first one which we read, and these are the series, in this particular chapter named Devotional Service, Krishna is very beautifully saying that who are the people who are dear to Krishna? Krishna is very clear, you know, one thing about Krishna that I personally love is that there's no hanky-panky business with Krishna. He's always very clear. You do this, you'll get this. If you do that, you'll get that. If you worship a particular devata, you'll go to the planet of the devatas. If you worship me, you'll come to me. Very straightforward equations. There's no if, but, nothing. It's direct, it's convincing, and it's perfect. That is Krishna. That is the absolute nature of the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is very clear that who are the people who are dear to Krishna and what are the qualities that we need to develop if we want to become dear to Krishna. Krishna is very, very clear about that. So it's not that, you know, we can just think that, yes, we are the children of Krishna and Krishna is bound to love us. Yes, he is bound to love us. And the very fact that we are being supplied with air to breathe, water to drink, you know, foodstuffs to eat and fill our stomach to keep life and soul together, a shelter to stay, all of this is provided by Krishna, by the will of Krishna. So Krishna does love us, that he's providing these basic amenities. But if you want to become dear to Krishna, what are some of the things that we need to do? What are some of the qualities that we need to develop? That is very, very clearly explained by Krishna. And if you just do that, then Krishna will not just provide us what is the basic necessities of our life, but he will give himself to us. That is the, you know, verdict of Krishna too. That if we can become dear to Krishna, Krishna gives himself to us. Then what else do we need? Just like when Arjuna and Duryodhana, when they were going to approach Krishna in Dwarka to join, you know, their either of the sides during the, you know, at the beginning of the Mahabharata war, when it was decided that yes, there is going to be a battle. So Shakuni, he sent Duryodhana that you better go to Krishna and seek his help. We need help if we have to defeat the Pandavas, and even Arjuna, because he doesn't do anything without Krishna. So Arjuna, with that mood, he anyways came to Krishna. So it so happened that, you know, both these cousins, Arjuna and Duryodhana, they walked into Krishna's quarters almost at the same time. And Duryodhana, being the puffed up personality that he is, he went straight near the head of Krishna, where Krishna was sleeping, and he sat down on a chair right next to, you know, like Krishna was sleeping like that, and then right near Krishna's head, he sat down. And Arjuna, you know, out of his humility, out of his, you know, real love for Krishna, he just very, very humbly, very meekly, he stood at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, as soon as Krishna opened his lotus eyes, whom did he see first? You know, when we look up, you know, we look straight, you know. So when we see like that, Krishna, first person whom he saw was Arjuna. Although Arjuna was so far away from Krishna, you know, I mean, Duryodhana was definitely nearer than Arjuna, but Krishna didn't see Duryodhana. There's another reason why Krishna didn't see Duryodhana is because Krishna is Paramatma in everyone's heart. He's not an ordinary person. Krishna immediately reciprocates based on the bhava of a person. He could immediately understand the puffed up nature of Duryodhana. And Krishna can't tolerate any kind of puffed up nature. He will take a needle and he will prick that, you know, egoistic balloon. And it hurts sometimes. There'll be a blast in our head, a popping sound which will disturb us and it will jolt us away. Just like how he did with Indra. So many cases, you know, Krishna can't tolerate that. So that was also another reason why Krishna did not even look at Duryodhana. And he first saw Arjuna because of Arjuna's loving, humble nature. He attracted the vision of Krishna with his humility, with his love, with his genuine love for Krishna. So however, then when Krishna woke up and then, you know, He said, "Oh, Arjuna, when did you come?" And then Duryodhan said, he tapped on Krishna's shoulder. He said, "Hey, I came first, by the way. Arjun came later." Then Krishna said, "Well, it doesn't really matter whether you came first or Arjun came second. I saw Arjun first, so I'll ask Arjuna, why have you come?" So when Krishna asked Arjuna, "Why have you come, Partha?" And then Arjuna said, "Well, I have come to request you that the battle is about to start, so we want your help." So then after that, after hearing that, then Krishna asked Duryodhana, "My dear Duryodhan, why have you come?" He said, "Well, I've come with the same purpose, because the battle is about to start, so we need your help." So when Krishna heard from both of them, Krishna said, "Well, see, you both came with the same purpose. Now, I can't divide myself into two, but what I'll give you is a choice. One side can have my Narayani Sena, which means there'll be, you know, millions and millions of soldiers, and they are all equipped with, you know, weapons. They are all perfectly, you know, trained in battle. So you will get that Narayani Sena of mine, or the other side can choose me. And I promise that I won't take up weapon in the battle. So it'll just be me, empty-handed. I won't fight in the battle. I won't do anything in the battle. But the other side can just have me. So one side is my Narayani military, army, and the other side is just me. No weapons." So then Duryodhana was biting his nails. He said, "Oh no, I hope I get the first choice. You know, I want to choose. I want to make the first choice. Not Arjuna." But Krishna, he asked Arjuna, that, "Arjuna, you make the choice." And then Arjuna said, "Well," and Duryodhana was getting very agitated. He said, why him? Because Duryodhana was scared that if Arjuna asked the Narayani Sena, then what is he going to do? What is he going to do with, without a weaponed Krishna, single Krishna? What is he going to do with that? So then, but Krishna made him understand. He said, "See, Arjuna, I saw him first. That's why I'm giving the first chance to Arjuna. Second, Arjuna is younger than you. You are his elder cousin brother. So you should also give the first chance to your younger brother. So he should get the first chance. So let him ask. Let him choose whom he wants." So Arjuna, without even thinking, he said, "My dear Krishna, I don't care for your Narayani Sena. I'm just here for you. I want you. I just want you and nothing else." And Duryodhana was like, he was jumping as soon as Arjuna said that. He was jumping in ecstasy. And then, but he just, you know, made a sad face and he said, "Okay, my dear younger brother has chosen you, Krishna. So I'll take whatever is left over. Is your Narayani Sena. So I'll just take that." But inside, you know, he was like thousands and thousands of popcorn was, you know, popping inside his mind, inside his heart. He was so happy that he wanted what he, you know, he got what he came for. So this one is a very, very good example of what do we actually want. Do we really want Krishna, or do we want Krishna's, you know, opulences, Krishna's, you know, his extended energies? What do we want? What are we really looking for? Srila Prabhupada always made this point that if one chants Hare Krishna, then not with the right consciousness. You know, if you are not chanting Hare Krishna for the purpose of, you know, receiving Krishna prema, but for any material benefits, then Krishna is so kind, he actually becomes very relieved when a person who chants Hare Krishna, who is asking for material benefits, Krishna is very relieved. He says, okay, take, get rid, fine, go. But those who ask only Krishna, those who want only Krishna prema, then Krishna has got no other choice but to just give himself. And Krishna gives bhukti, or even mukti. Bhukti means material enjoyment. He gives bhukti very easily. He gives mukti also very easily, liberation. He gives it very easily. But bhakti, Krishna is very stingy about. He needs to know for sure that the recipient who is asking for bhakti will truly know how to treasure and how to nurture this rare gift that will be awarded to the recipient by Krishna. That is how special bhakti is. That is how special Krishna is. So if we want to become dear to Krishna, if we want really Krishna on our side, then Krishna has very, very clearly given us what it is that, by following which, we can become dear to Krishna and Krishna can give himself to us. So here is from the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, from 13th through 20th verse. Krishna is saying that one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is always satisfied, forgiving, and self-controlled, and who is engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence dedicated to me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So no negativity. That's what Krishna is saying. If we have to become dear to Krishna, we have to try and practice equanimity with everybody. It's not an easy thing to do because we always have a judgmental attitude. That person said this to me, all right, I'll say that to that person, or I won't interact with that person. Or I won't, you know, do this, I won't do that. We hold grudges and we just continue with that in our life. Is that helpful to us in the long run? Definitely not. It is like carrying a bag of rotten potatoes with us. We are carrying unnecessary weight on ourselves. But as soon as we just let go, as soon as we just, you know, think that, okay, whatever is happening, it's all right, I forgive you. But maybe associating with you directly or very closely may not be very favorable to my Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I choose to just respect you from a distance, but I have no enmity towards you. You may have done so many things to me. And this relationship amongst devotees is very beautifully, vividly described by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad in how to actually associate with devotees. It's not that, you know, this guhya makshati prichati, that revealing our mind in confidence to other devotees, that we should go around revealing our mind to everybody. Means all Vaishnavas. That's not what Rupa Goswami is saying. Rupa Goswami is saying that guhya makhyati prichati means choose our association. We have to choose those personalities who really nurture and encourage our Krishna consciousness. Those are the people with whom we should, you know, open our mind to. Guhya makhyati prichati. So we must choose. But again, that does not mean that we will say, okay, that person, that devotee was very nasty to me. So therefore, I will also be very nasty to them. That's not the solution. If that person is being nasty to us, then maybe, you know, that person has some issues. Try to resolve that by involving another third party who's neutral to both. There are so many options that we can do. But even in spite of doing that, sometimes we find that it's just basic envy that sometimes, you know, devotees behave some way or the other. And if we get confirmation of that from another senior devotee, then best is that choose our association with like-minded devotees who nurture and enrich our Krishna consciousness. Associate closely with them, but don't hold a grudge against those who are not being nice to us. Holding a grudge, holding animosity towards somebody, holding negative feelings for somebody is like a, you know, it's almost like a dam which stops the flow of Krishna Prem. You know, the river of Krishna Prem is flowing down, and as soon as we have these kind of negativity, it's like, you know, it's like just a dam that cuts us off of all these mercy that we are, you know, supposed to be receiving. We must be very careful about, you know, this particular quality that Krishna is saying, that being non-envious. We should not be envious of others, but try to be a friend, a true friend to all living entities. Equal in both happiness and distress, who is always satisfied, forgiving. Yes, a person may have done so many things to us, but are we forgiving? Are we holding a grudge towards them? But as soon as you forgive, you'll feel that you feel so light. It's as if, you know, like 10 quintals of weight has been lifted off from our head. Try it as an experiment. Try forgiving a person. It's like we ourselves will feel so light. And we'll feel that, you know, the burden has gone away. That is how these, you know, transcendental qualities, they really nurture us in that way. Krishna goes on to say, he by whom no one is put into difficulty or anxiety, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is liberated from jubilation, anger, fear, and anxiety, is very dear to me. Now, these are very difficult things. There's no doubt about it. Very, very difficult things to start implementing. But at least we must try to start implementing. At least let's try to practice these qualities. When we, you know, are faced with situations where we become very angry, where we become very, you know, fearful, or when we become, you know, very anxious, all of, especially anger, let us try to see, you know, analyze, visualize that now we know what we need to do if we want to become dear to Krishna. We need to get rid of our anger. So how can we get rid of our anger whenever we are, you know, put in a situation which triggers our anger? If we can start practicing, then try to envision 4 or 5 steps ahead. Try to fast forward our life and try to envision that. What happens after an angry situation? We become morose. The person whom we got angry at becomes morose. The situation in the home becomes terrible. It's not at all convenient. It's not at all nice for our Krishna consciousness. Definitely not nice for the other family members. Everyone gets affected by anger. So if we fast forward to this effect of what our, you know, little bit of anger can provoke a situation, if we fast forward ourselves a few steps along the way and try to visualize, oh, this is what is going to happen if I get angry right now. Otherwise, let me now come back to the reality and try to see how I can at least try to keep myself calm, composed, and in a composed manner try to respond to the situation. That is practice. That is sadhana bhakti. If we want to become dear to Krishna, that is Krishna consciousness. You know, that is how we need to practice these things, of how to actually get rid of all these negativities, how to really cope up with these kind of, you know, triggering situations in our life. That's when we will really have the motivation to, you know, start implementing some of these, you know, major qualities. Try to develop some of these major qualities which can make us dear to Krishna. The text 109 is saying that a devotee who is not dependent on others but is dependent solely on me, who is clean inwardly and outwardly, who is expert, indifferent to material things, without care and free from all pains, and who rejects all pious and impious activities, is very dear to me. Now here, we might think that, why is Krishna saying that one who is not dependent on others? That means that person has to be very proud. Oh, I don't depend on anybody. I can do everything myself. Is that what Krishna is saying? No. What does this mean about not being dependent on others? That we don't dictate our lives based on somebody else. We don't justify our actions based on somebody else. You know, oh, I did this. I am right in doing this. It, I did this because that person provoked me to do it. That is called being dependent on others. Not seeing one's own fault in anything, but just always trying to put the blame on somebody else. That I did this because of that, or because of this situation, because of that person. They talked to me like this, therefore I reacted. It's a very, very easy way out. It's a very materialistic kind of way out. And if you do that, then you can never be dear to Krishna. We have to really try that how we can always try to show our dependency on Krishna. That is how we can, you know, and that needs proper expertise. That needs, you know, proper training. That needs proper practice. How, at every moment of our life, how can we show our dependence on Krishna? That, you know, we are not really depending on anything material. We are not depending on any personality. We are not depending on anything material, circumstances, or, you know, any kind of anything material. But at all point of life, we are just depending on Krishna. If we can really practice that, then we can try to become dear to Krishna. So that is what is called being not dependent on anything material or anybody material, but being completely dependent on Krishna. And of course, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that what it means to be clean inward and externally. Externally clean is, of course, we take bath every day, and internally clean is by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by rendering devotional service, by, you know, engaging in, you know, different activities in the association of devotees. And I remember a very wonderful quote in this regard by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu. He, in Gita Nagari, he was there 1 year, and Srila Raghunath Swami Guru Maharaj, he gave a very beautiful class on devotee association and the benefits of devotee association, and Gauranga Prabhu was there. He was sitting amongst all of us in the audience, and, you know, Guru Maharaj, at the end of the class, he told Gauranga Prabhu that, so Gauranga Prabhu, would there be anything that you would like to say? So Gauranga Prabhu said a few lines, and I'll just repeat that. Gauranga Prabhu said that Krishna consciousness is so beautiful. He said that we take prasadam, it purifies our senses. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it purifies our intelligence, it purifies our heart. We read Srila Prabhupada's books, it actually intensifies our activities. It purifies our activities because we apply the knowledge of the books in our life. So it purifies our activities. But if we do management, seva, in devotional service, in spiritual life, then we can advance, you know, we can make advancement much, much more faster. He said, because devotees who are in management, they actually take on a lot and lots of, you know, things. So everybody started laughing, you know, and they said that Raghunath Maharaj, he said that it's a fact that if we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, that, you know, we take prasadam, it purifies our, you know, all everything. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we do all of this. But if we are taking care of devotees in the form of doing some management seva, then all of this process is, you know, expedited. So, you know, this is something that came to my mind when, you know, Krishna is talking here about expertise. Now, that's why we can see these great leaders in our, you know, society who are such expert devotees. You know, we see our Guru Vargas, we see all the other senior Vaishnavas, the senior Vaishnavis, how expertly they deal with, you know, devotees in different situations. They handle so much, and therefore they are making, you know, advancement in leaps and bounds, you know. So that's a very, very true fact, because they're so expert in dealing with different kinds of situations. So text 110 goes on to say, Krishna is saying that one who is free from all material jubilation, hatred, lamentation, and desire, who renounces both materially auspicious and materially inauspicious things, and who is devoted to me is very dear to me. Something very similar that Krishna said previously about, you know, sometimes we get so carried away that, oh, you know, materially this is supposed to be very, very auspicious. If we do this on this day, it's supposed to be very blessed. You know, in this regard, I always remember that, you know, whenever, I mean, even we personally, you know, we were actually looking for some muhurta, you know, auspicious muhurtas that are good for, you know, doing either griha pravesh or, you know, like when we have some new home or, you know, doing bhumi puja, so many things. So I remember we had asked our parents in Mayapur to ask Jananivas Prabhu. And Jananivas Prabhu gave a one-line answer. He said that any moment is auspicious when in that moment we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that moment becomes transcendentally auspicious. What conviction? So no material, you know, muhurtas, materially auspicious moment, materially inauspicious moment, you know, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is transcendental to all of that. All this Rahu Kala, this Kal, that Kal, astrology, this thing, that thing, all things are, you know, below the position of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When a personality is, you know, when a person is actually chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they are above and beyond any kind of material circumstances. You know, no astrology, no astronomy, none of these things affect that person. And that's the faith that we need to try and develop. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Next is very similar to what we read before. In text 111 and 112, Krishna is saying that one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from attachment to material things, and always grave and satisfied in all circumstances, who does not care for any residence, and who is always fixed in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. We can see that the Shari Goswamis of Vrindavan, they actually were the personification of these few verses. They were the personification of these. They really did not have any residence. You know, they would reside under different trees every single day. They did not have any place that they would call home. No fixed residence. So actually what happened is, one day, Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad, because, you know, what happened is, this Rupa Goswami Pad, he was such a renounced personality that every night he would reside under a different tree. Every night he would go and sit, you know, I mean, sleep. He would sleep for just a couple of hours. But he, whatever sleep he would do under a different tree every day so that he does not develop attachment to a particular, you know, to one particular place. So one day Sanatan, who is Rupa Goswami's elder brother, Sanatan Goswami Pad came to him and said, "My dear Rupa, why are you troubling Radharani so much?" And Rupa Goswami started scratching his head. He said, "What do you mean? I am troubled Srimati Radharani. She is, you know, she's my master. How can I trouble her?" And then Sanatan said, "My dear Rupa, you are going and staying under a different tree every night. So Srimati Radharani has to make sure that she goes to all the different trees. God knows which tree you will choose. So she goes over there and she starts cleaning that area for you. Because you don't have anything fixed. So she is going around and taking care so that when you go there, that you don't have any trouble. Why are you troubling Radharani like this? At least, you know, just set up one small bhajan kutir somewhere and just stay there. It's not anything fixed, but you just stay there. So that way you're not troubling Srimati Radharani." Now this is at a different level altogether. You know, it's not that, you know, they are building a, you know, like a home or a bhajan kutir with stones and bricks and cement. No. It was just a little, you know, straw hut that they had. And Rupa Goswami immediately said, "Sanatan, thank you so much, my dear elder brother. You opened my eyes that yes, Radharani indeed would be troubling herself so much. I don't want to trouble her." So then Rupa Goswami then started having one fixed place where he would stay so that Srimati Radharani is not troubled. You know, so this and the other things we've already discussed about being equal to friends and enemies, to honor, dishonor, fame and fame, how we can become dear to Krishna. The 113th verse, Krishna is saying, devotees who follow these imperishable religious principles of Krishna consciousness with great faith and devotion, fully accepting me as the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Very clear-cut understanding Krishna is giving. No hanky-panky business. He's giving us clearly what all we need to do, what are the qualities we need to develop if we want to become very, very dear to Krishna. That if we have to, we can just try to at least start, you know, just start thinking about these qualities. We sometimes don't even think. But now, because of these, you know, acharyas, our very own dear Srila Prabhupada, and the discussion that Srila Prabhupada has recorded of Sanatana Goswami and Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we at least have access to know how we can become dear to Krishna. At least we have that knowledge. We have that access. So we can at least be, you know, in knowledge that, okay, these are the things that I try to develop if I want to become dear to Krishna. How can I mold my life in such a way that these qualities, I can start practicing about, you know, in my own life, how I can start living around these qualities, developing these kind of qualities. In the last verse that we read today, it's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, text 5, where, you know, it is being said that Krishna is providing everything for everybody. You know, the caves, the reservoir of water, everything Krishna is providing. So why would Krishna not provide for those souls who have actually surrendered to him? Srila Prabhupada, in that particular purport, he says that Krishna is providing for the elephants living in the jungles of the Amazon, living in the jungles of Africa. You know, tons and tons of food they need every day. Not one day or not one month or not one year. Every day they need tons of, you know, food. And Krishna is providing those to the elephants. So won't Krishna provide for souls who surrender to Krishna? This was lived. You know, this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam was actually lived by Srivast Thakur. He practiced this particular verse. Because, you know, people of nowadays, they actually one time came and questioned Srivast Thakur, that, my dear Srivast, you have such a big family. Even this Avadhut Nityananda Mahashaya stays with you. You know, the entire Navadip, all the Vaishnavas, they come and eat with you. They all stay with you. You do, but you actually have no source of living. You don't work. All you do every day is just chant. How does everything come to you? So Shiva said, I've got a very simple formula. All I do is 3 times clap. And as soon as I do 3 claps, prasadam bhoga comes. Everything just comes. And then they said, oh, 3 claps and bhoga comes? Everything comes? How? And then Srivast Thakur just chanted Hare Krishna. And while he chanted Hare Krishna, he just clapped. He was clapping his hands and he was just chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As soon as he did that, there was, you know, so much, you know, bhoga that was coming to his home. People from all over the city of Navadvip, they knew that Srivast Thakur's home is like the abode of the Vaishnavas. So all Vaishnavas would come there, and so the people of Nadia, they would come with so much of, you know, bhoga so that Srivast Thakur, you know, glorious wife Malini Devi could cook and serve all the Vaishnavas. So Srivast Thakur wouldn't have to do anything. So literally, you know, we see that devotees who are surrendered to Krishna, there are living examples of that, who have literally lived this kind of work that Krishna does provide. He'll never, you know, leave us midway. You know, so Krishna is always there. He is, you know, he will provide for what we lack and he will preserve what we have. That is Krishna. Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. That Krishna does say that me, myself, I will come and take care of it personally. He will not send any agent. He will come himself. But of course, there is a prerequisite to that. For Krishna to come personally, for him to do Yogakshemam Vahamyaham, we have to remember him constantly. We have to meditate on him constantly. That is the condition. That is the prerequisite that we must try to follow in our lives. So we will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanrakshana, and glory to Srila Prabhupada, and glory to you, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. These verses are really from Bhagavad Gita, and I do remember that when you were covering the Bhagavad Gita and these verses came up, you said that these verses are known as the dear verses. Because Krishna has specified that what is dear to him, and then this is dear to him, and finally he says that this is very, very dear to me. So, thank you so much, Mataji, for such a wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for very enlightening class today. Very, very nice, practical. Also, we can apply in our lives. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Komodiki Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to your wonderful class, Mataji. I did have a question, Mataji.
Yes, please go ahead, Indra.
So in the story where Duryodhana and Arjuna are standing by Krishna's bed, and Duryodhana gets the full Narayani army, right? So at that point, he still doesn't realize that Krishna gave the best part to actually Arjuna, right? So there are so many times in our lives when we feel, okay, yes, this is more important than our devotional service or than, and we don't realize. So is there a stage or a point when Krishna would actually help us open our eyes and see, okay, no, this is really not the best part?
Absolutely. As I said, there's two formulas to this. There's a difficult path and there's an easier path. It's up to us what we choose. The difficult one is Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupasate Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. Krishna says that when we do Ananya Chinta, that all the time when we remember Krishna and when we are always meditating on Krishna, then he will definitely take care of us personally. Yogakshemam Vahamayam. He'll carry what we lack and he will preserve what we have. That's definitely going to take time. It's not going to be easy to develop this overnight. But there's a very, very sweeter, much more sweeter and a much more faster process to achieve the same purpose, which is by the association of such devotees who have already achieved this. When we serve such Vaishnavas, we will be able to realize that what they are realizing, we can also realize it one day. Because we can see it practically in front of our eyes, them, that they are relishing and living such a life. In front of our eyes, we can actually visualize it. We can see it, we can witness it. And that, you know, is more effective and much more faster, much more better, and definitely more, you know, assurative, you know. So when we see living examples in front of us and when we serve and associate with such living examples, then you know, this statement of Krishna and the rare diamond of Krishna consciousness that we are holding in our hands becomes very easy for us to realize, is the association of, you know, devotees who have realized that already. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Can I ask one more?
Please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this was regarding forgiveness, where you said we should be equipoised, or we should behave the same way to both enemies and friends, and we should learn to forgive. Mm-hmm. So you also mentioned that we need to maintain a respectable distance, just so that we know if we know we got hurt once, right?
Yeah.
So, Mataji, forgiving is on its own a very hard process. Maybe just for me, at least. So, I was just wondering, so, okay, we shouldn't have any real enemies, and we shouldn't really hate anyone, right?
Right.
So, after we forgive, it's okay to just end it there and not try to go back and, you know, get hurt again. So, don't try to continue maintaining that relationship. Is that okay?
Absolutely. But it's always better to confirm it with some senior Vaishnavas. You know, we should, in these kind of situations, better not to rely just on our own intelligence and just on our own experience. If we have a devotee in our life whom we can share the exact situation, the exact circumstances, in confidence, you know, if we have that faith in some other devotee, we would recommend that to be done so that, you know, it's always better to, you know, our Krishna consciousness is always better if it is, if we have a three-way check and balance system, you know, sadhu, guru, and shastra. So yes, shastra does say that, you know, if a person is being very envious towards us, and if, you know, there's not such a inspiring kind of association that we are receiving from the other end, then it's better to maintain a distance and respect a person from a distance. It's perfectly all right. That is the verdict of the shastra. And but it's always better to check it also with the sadhus, that what we are thinking or what we are perceiving that particular situation is what is actually there in the shastra. It's always better to confirm it, reconfirm it, you know. So if we are doing that, then that's perfectly fine. We are actually being safe that way. You know, so there is no doubt that, okay, what we are going to do is, you know, there should never be a doubt in our mind whether this is going to be pleasing to Krishna or not. And if we are doing anything wrong, are we able to see it ourselves? Or maybe that other devotee who we are revealing our mind in confidence to, maybe they can say if we may be wrong, they can point out our mistake in a very, very compassionate way, you know, and they can help us, they can guide us on how best to accept that particular situation. That is why we need the role of the guru, and we need the role of the senior Vaishnavas, the senior sadhus, who from their experience can share with us how to actually implement the words of the shastra. So I would definitely recommend that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanwad Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Mataji, like, I think this was a class I needed to hear personally. Like, very important points about relationships. How to maintain those. I am still, I think I've misunderstood the anecdote you shared about Gaurang Prabhu in Gitanagri. It was the conclusion that that managing various services is on par or maybe better than just doing our own japa or eating prasadam, or I didn't get the purport of that anecdote.
Okay. Well, that was, he was actually just sharing a lighthearted, I would say, not like a joke, but a very lighthearted statement. You know, he was saying that, yes, when we take prasad, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is definitely purifying. But he was saying that, you know, being in a management position or being in any kind of responsible position, you know, even if you're responsible for another person, like say, for example, if you're the head of your family and you're responsible for your spouse's, your children's, you know, responsibility of making advancement in Krishna consciousness, that's also being responsible. That's also like being a manager in a certain level. So when we are doing that, then as soon as we take on certain responsibilities on behalf of Krishna, then Gauranga Prabhu's main point of saying this was that the advancement is much more faster. You know, his statement was very much similar to what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that in Kali Yuga, we cannot do Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan means that doing our Krishna consciousness, our japa, in a secluded place. Because if you do that, then with an impure mind, impure consciousness, we will definitely fall down. But we do need to do Goshti Bhajan. We need to do bhajan and sadhana in the association of devotees. And when we take responsibility for each other, we can help each other also in making advancement. The process is definitely faster. So that is the main crux and the message of that particular statement or that anecdote by Gauranga Prabhu. I hope that clears.
So taking responsibility in Krishna consciousness is as important as honoring prasadam or doing our japa.
Absolutely. We must take responsibility. Srila Prabhupada said that as soon as one starts chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as soon as one knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the biggest responsibility that is awarded to us, especially in this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, all of us being here in ISKCON, as Prabhupada Anugas, as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, the biggest responsibility all of us have is to just share this Krishna consciousness with each and every person we come in contact with. That is our responsibility. So as soon as we take on this kind of a mission as our own mission too, then our life will become glorious. Srila Prabhupada said, Mahaprabhu has made this prediction, that prithivite ache jata nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoive mor naam, that in every town and village my name will be chanted. That is a prediction Mahaprabhu has made. Now, if we want our life to become glorious, if we want to go down in history, then we have to make sure that we are taking part in this Sankirtan mission. Just like how Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that my dear Arjuna, you are saying you're going to kill these people or you're not going to kill these people, it doesn't really matter. I've already killed them. But if you go ahead and kill them, you will be getting famous. You will be blessed by me. So you will be my nimitta matra. You will just be an instrument of me only. So similarly, Mahaprabhu's prediction of everyone, you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in every town and village, that's already going to happen. It is happening. It is up to us how much we want to be a part of that mission if we want to make our lives glorious. So if you want to take that responsibility. So that responsibility is already there upon us. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mataji, that was very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very, very deep, insightful questions. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Kala Sutta Mataji, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much, Mataji, for today's class. It's very inspiring as usual. Mataji, whenever there is a no question, can you sing whatever you want to sing? Especially Gopi Gita.
Sure. I will definitely honor your request, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. You always give an opportunity to remember the Gopi Gita, to remember and to be of some service to you. So I'm very grateful for that, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvatana. All blessings to you. Mataji, I had a query. Like when you said that we have to forgive, and like when those whatever characteristics are there which will bring us near to Krishna, in those cases, Mataji,
like, should we just leave? Because the situations keep on happening. And every situation, we cannot go and tell it to somebody else and discuss about it, because we do not want to become a, like, we do not want to have a Vaishnava Aparadha also, right? So in that case, should we just leave it? Because instead of, the more we drag that situation, the more it becomes tedious to handle. So should we just leave that situation? Okay, this happened. Maybe this was some way of Krishna finding out how to be, I should proceed in my personal life, and just leave the situation over there. Will that approach help?
Very interesting. May I know who this is?
It's Sita Priti Jindasi Mataji from Dali.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for bringing that point of view. Well, see, the thing is that could be, but given, you know, our circumstances, especially mine, I can tell you my own example, because you're definitely very advanced. But for me personally, I would not trust my own judgment. And sharing our mind and confidence, whatever little situation we may go through, if we are sharing it with the entire world of Vaishnavas, that is Vaishnava Farad. If we are going and spreading certain things, you know, oh, you know what? That devotee did this to me, therefore I'm very, very hurt. If you go around saying this to everybody who we meet, that is Vaishnava Parad. But if you are revealing to one devotee who we have some faith in, some confidence in, and very confidentially, if you are revealing our mind to such a devotee who can help us in, you know, tackling that particular situation, it's much better, because these situations, as you rightly said, will keep coming. And when they keep coming, if we don't handle them, if we don't get a resolution for these situations, they keep building one by one. They keep piling on top of each other. And one day, maybe, there might be an outburst. So we do not want to have a volcanic eruption in our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, it's always safe to resolve the situation with that one person whom we can hold in confidence. Guhyam akhyati prichiti. That, Rupa Goswami says, is that with that one person you should do that. Not with the entire community of Vaishnavas. That is Vaishnava Parad. But if you are just doing for resolving one particular situation to one particular devotee, that is called Guhyam akhyati prichiti. That is not Vaishnava Parad. And it's definitely safe to do that, because we don't want to pile on. You know?
Yes, Mataji, that really helps, because then that will also clear our heart also of the whatever trauma or pain we have been having.
Exactly, because these are painful situations, you know, and we need to share it with somebody who will, you know, give a salve of, you know, loving words on that paining wound that we have been inflicted with. Therefore, we need that association. Mm-hmm. You know?
Perfect, Mataji. Perfect. Mataji, one more topic related to compassion. Yes. When we say, yes. What I have seen, like, just my experience, like, when we are content with something, yes, then sharing that thing or having more compassion for that thing for others becomes more easy. But mm-hmm. if we are not content in a situation or in one thing, then it becomes hard to let go or think about others first. Like, for example, just as I tell myself, like, if I am driving my son to school and if I am way ahead of time, I will always give the other side of the traffic to move ahead first. But on the other mm-hmm. hand, when I am late, I will not think about others who are passing. I will always think, okay, why? How can I go early? So that content of myself decides whether I'm going to be compassionate or not. So this thing is also applicable in the devotional life. Like, I've seen situations with myself. I can share it with you personally at times. But then how to have this compassion all the time? How to have this compassion?
That is sadhana bhakti, Mataji. That is sadhana bhakti. That is what practice means. You know, that it's not, see, that is the beauty of this material world, you know. That material world, it's like an ocean of problems. you know, one wave subsides, the other bigger tsunami keeps coming, you know. So that is the nature of this world, and we are always constantly faced with newer and more difficult situations. So situations will keep coming, but it is up to us how much we are practicing to cultivate that kind of mood. And that kind of mood will really come when we have a very strong association. If we don't have proper association, it is very, very easy to get, you know, blown away by the waves or get sunk. You know, we might just drown. So we want to avoid those things. So therefore, you know, the association of devotees is one of the most essential. And, the, you know, that one strong connection is something that we always need to have. That's always like our, you know, like our lifeboat kind of thing, you know. So it comes with practice. Every situation is going to be a different challenge, a newer challenge. And the more we keep practicing, the more it will become, you know, our first nature. Like just for example, when we learn swimming, Srila Prabhupada often gave this very beautiful example. He said that when we learn swimming, we have to first consciously start, you know, trying to float above water. Or trying to take our, you know, hold our breath underwater. We have to consciously do all this when we are first learning how to swim. As soon as, you know, we lose that, you know, focus, we will, you know, we'll start breathing inside water, water will go inside our nose. But we keep practicing, we keep practicing. And then one day, what happens is that because of our constant practice, we end up becoming a great swimmer. A very expert swimmer. At that time, when we are expert in swimming, we don't have to consciously remind ourselves that we need to breathe underwater or we need to hold our breath underwater. It becomes automatic. It becomes unconscious at that time. So that's the beauty of practice. That, you know, first we have to do it consciously. We have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep practicing it. And then it will become, you know, our first nature. We can do it even unconsciously. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mataji, that really makes sense. Just to apply it is going to be the main beam.
Yes.
Mataji, and if you have time, can you please share some more topics, or like some more points, how we can be more attentive in chanting, Mataji? Because it's not the same every day, and I don't know what are the points I should always remember, like while chanting, to make it more, I don't know, like to make it more profound, that I can really relate, okay, is this, like satisfied with that chanting, is that I did it to my best level today. That feeling is the feeling which came at the very beginning of my Krishna consciousness does not come now, and I really feel, I don't know how to improve it, but like if you could guide in some way, Mataji.
Well, we have a japa workshop, so we can attend that. But if you're asking for some pointers, some pointers could be that which Satyanandan Maharaj and Bhurijan Prabhu have mentioned. They have said that, you know, sitting in one particular place, like, you know, when we enter the kitchen, the mind automatically knows that we are going there for cooking. When we go to the bathroom, the mind automatically knows that we are going there to do our business, you know. So similarly, when we see the bed, when we go into the bedroom, we know that, you know, we are going there for our sleeping. So similarly, we should have a fixed place for doing our japa, so that helps our mind in identifying with that particular place, that this is our place of chanting our japa. That's very important. That as soon as you come into that sacred space, that the mind automatically knows that, oh, this is my japa place. I need to start, you know, focusing. And of course, when we chant our japa, we remember the 3P formula, which is pronunciation. Pronounce very, very clearly each and every syllable of the Maha Mantra. The second P is posture. Our posture should be comfortable for us. And the third P is prayer, that it's not just a mindless chant we are doing, but we are chanting and calling out to the holy names that it is a prayer that, O Srimati Radharani, O Krishna, O Rama, O reservoir of all pleasure, I am drowning in an ocean of misery. Please lift me up and engage me in your service. That's the meaning of the Maha Mantra. So that's a prayer. So to be in that consciousness of prayer. And the other thing is that very important thing is to chant our rounds as much as we can in the Brahma Muhurta, in the early morning hours. If we can chant our rounds, give our first priority to our chanting, then, you know, everything else will fall into place. And, so these are the things that come to my mind right now. But of course, we can give, you know, hours and hours of talk on how to increase and improve our japa. So, but these are certain pointers. I hope they help.
Yes, Madam. Thank you so much for your time and for your guidance. Thank you, Madam.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any other questions? Sorry, it's already 14 minutes past the hour. So maybe if there's any other question, last one. Okay, if there's no more questions, I want to honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request. And Vrinda Gopika Mataji, recently, you know, my parents, myself, and my Prabhu, we've been meditating and listening to Sri Nityananda Ashtakam. So I will sing one verse from Sri Nityananda Ashtakam. And then for you, I will also sing one verse from the Gopi Gita. I hope that's okay. So this is Sri Nityananda Ashtakam, written by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is the first verse. Glorifying Lord Nityananda Ram. I'll just read the translation first. I eternally worship Lord Nityananda, the root of the tree of devotional service. He appears like the autumn moon, very splendid and free of any taint. Maddened with pure love for Lord Hari, he walks as gracefully as an elephant, and his eyes constantly roll about. He is the absolute truth. His face is smiling, and he disperses the influence of the age of Kali with a staff in his hand. Sharad Chandra Bhantim Spurada Malakantim Gajagate Hari Preman Mata Jeta Paramasattvam smitamukham sada ghurnam netram kara kalita vetram kalividham bhaja nityanandam bhajana tarukandam niravadhi Jai Shri Nityananda Rama ki jai. And here's Gopi Geet. Again, I'll sing the seventh one. It's my most favorite one. I'll sing that. Pranata Dehina Papa Karshanam Trina Charalugam Shini Ketanam Phani Phana Arpitam Te Padam Bhujam Trinu Kuche Shuna Trindhire Chayam Jai Shri Gopi Gita Ki Jai Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Very wonderful. Nice. Nityananda Ashtakam.
Gopika Ki Jai Koti Koti Dandat Panam Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Jai Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you for the opportunity. Hare Krishna. So we can end here?
Yes, Mataji. If nobody has any question, we can end. Thank you very much, Mataji, for your very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. If nobody has any question, we can end the call here. Vansha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam